There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to ModPath Chat, the official podcast of Modern Pathology, featuring interviews with authors and experts on the latest science, technology, and developments in the field of pathology. Your host, Dr. George Netto, is the editor-in-chief of Modern Pathology and the chair of pathology at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Here's Dr. Netto.
Welcome to a new episode of ModPath Chat. I'm pleased to be joined today by Dr. Sabina Berezovska from Lausanne. Dr. Berezovska is an associate professor for pulmonary pathology at the University of Lausanne and a senior consultant at the Institute of Pathology there. Dr. Berezovska is a member of the pathology committee of the International Association for the Study of Lung Cancer, such a big name committee, but most people refer to it as IASLC. Sabina's research focuses on tissue-based assessment of lung cancer, and she's here today to discuss her team's recent publication that really made it, because it's so important and such great findings, to the cover of Modern Pathology July issue. The study is on a novel prognostic score for a non-small cell lung cancer that is resected post-neoadjuvant therapy. Thank you, Dr. Berezovska, for accepting my invitation.
Thank you, Dr. Netto. Thank you, George, for inviting me. It's a great pleasure to be here. I'm very happy to talk about our work.
Excellent. So let's start in setting the background for those like me who are not up to date on neoadjuvant lung cancer, or what is the current state of the art of treating lung cancer?
Yeah. So, you might know that lung cancer is a very deadly disease, and most of the cancer-associated deaths are due to lung cancer, really. And most of the patients present with advanced cancer, and around at least one third of those are locally advanced. And there is a clear benefit of including additional chemotherapy or additional therapies to resecting the tumor, either adjuvant or neoadjuvant. And by now, neoadjuvant therapy is really the standard in those advanced carcinomas. There are some benefits over adjuvant therapy. And one of the benefits, which is increasingly also taken into account also by the clinicians, is the possibility to take what we see as pathologists after the tumors have been resected, after they have been treated by the therapy, as an endpoint for clinical studies to see whether the patient or the tumor reacted to the treatment applied.
Excellent. So that's kind of where the focus of the study is looking at those specimens and see if you can improve upon priorly suggested algorithms to prognosticate. Can you touch a little bit about what's been done before?
Yeah. So usually when we talk about prognostic, we talk about TNM. And this is true in the US as in Europe. But the problem for the TNM is that in the huge databases that were there to or by on which the TNM has been informed have not included neoadjuvant neoadjuvantly treated patients.
Amazing.
So One of the things we wanted to do is to verify or validate whether TNM is prognostic also in this group of patients, because we are applying it. And the CAP also says that, you know, you are supposed to apply the TNM on tumors resected after neoadjuvant therapy. But in fact, it was not included into the database which informed the TNM. So there is a little bit, it's a bit discrepant. And while we were doing that, we also wanted to validate whether the response or major pathologic response, I will then come to the definition in a minute, is prognostic. And we have tried to expand the score, which is major pathologic response, for prognostication in this particular group of patients.
So the TNM, as it stands, as you mentioned, it does not really reflect this population. So you're validating it in this population, and we'll come to that in a second. And there was a suggestion before, of course, and it's been starting to be used, called major pathologic response. And,
yes.
And you, in this study, you're probably adjusting a little bit the criteria. So, and now you're proposing what you're calling prognostic score, or PRSC, comparing it to those two prior methods. Can you explain a little bit about your population that you tested this, developed this score on, and what are the elements of that score?
Yeah, so the population, it is a retrospective single center study. So we went through all the files we had in the Institute of Pathology of the University in Bern and extracted all the patients who have been treated with a neoadjuvant intent. Those are not all the patients who received chemotherapy before resection. So this was actually a lot of work, also validating the data we had in the pathology files with the clinical files. Our cohort is a cohort of consecutive patients resected after neoadjuvant treatment, and we came to have 117 patients during a period of, I think, 16 or 17 years, 16 years, I think. So a lot of, you know, a long time span.
And that's important because this is really a relevant timeline, 2000 to 2016. So,
yes.
And it's surprising that the TNM did not dip into that timeline.
Yeah, but surprising, yes, but also, you know, maybe okay to not include those patients into the general TNM. I mean, there are different ways to see it. Maybe to homogenize the cohort, it was okay not to include them. So there is a pro and con for both ways to see it.
And how is the score? What are the elements of your score, and how does it relate to majors?
So the score includes the T category from the TNM. We don't want to get rid of the TNM. No, of course not. But and the residual tumor, so major pathologic response, and the third part, which is not included into both of them, is the lymph node status. So if there has been after application of neoadjuvant therapy, so in the resected specimen, whether there are some lymph nodes positive or not, because this is normally not included into major pathologic response.
I see. And so as far as, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, we have a point, we have some point values, and according to the point values, we had a low risk, an intermediate risk, and a high risk group.
Correct. And that's what I was going to ask. How do you score your points? So in each one of these elements?
So the T stage, this is, so 0 points is up to YPT2A. So either the tumor reaches or is less than 4 centimeters big, or it can be also smaller and invade the pleura. And anything which is beyond, which is bigger, so starting with PT2B, is getting 1 point. Then if the patient has a positive lymph node, he or she gets 1 point, and then the residual tumor. So we have So classically, we have included the classical major pathologic response, which is with a cutoff of 10% viable tumor. But we have also looked at the best cutoff in our cohort and then included the histology of the tumors and had a look whether in adenocarcinoma versus non-adenocarcinoma, we would get the same optimal cutoff for major pathologic response.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Excellent. So in to simplify, basically you're giving 0 point if you're less than YPT2A or equal.
Yes.
1 point
yes.
If you're above that. And
yes.
You're giving 0 point if you're YPN0 and 1 point if you're above that. And then
yes.
Looking at the residual tumor, you developed a couple of cutoffs according to the histology, whether you're adeno or non-adeno, but within the non-small cell category.
Yes.
And those, if I'm reading it correctly, for the adeno is 65% cutoff. And for
yes.
An adeno is 10%. Can you explain why is it different?
Yes, this is actually a second point very dear to me, or the second result which we got from the paper, that the optimal cutoff for major pathologic response is different in adeno versus non-adenocarcinomas or classically squamous cell carcinomas. And in our cohort, the non-adeno was 9%, so 10% is okay for us. And the adenocarcinoma was 65%. And we are not the first ones who are reporting this. So there was a publication in 2019, I just opened it up, from Q and colleagues, published in Journal of Thoracic Oncology, where they have also seen exactly the same cutoff for adenocarcinoma, 65%, which is really super cool because it's a completely independent cohort from New York. And there is another one which has recently been published in Modern Pathology, a group from China, so a completely different continent. Now we are on mm-hmm. three continents, who have also seen that there is a different cutoff for adenocarcinoma. They have not seen that it's 65%, but 58, still over 50%, not 10. And this is amazing, and I think one should really go into this.
So, just to make sure I understand, the 65%, so you're saying if only a third of the tumor shrunk, basically, right?
Yes.
So you don't need to get rid of the 90% of the tumor, which is the case with the 10%. So if you get rid of 35% of the tumor regression, that's good enough in adeno as a positive prognosticator. That's amazing.
Yes. That's fantastic. But of course, I mean, those are comparably small studies. Also, the other ones have some more patients included, but still, you know, this needs to be validated. But I think there is something in it. And I think it's maybe even logical, because squamous cell carcinoma has the tendency to get necrotic, to get fibrotic and everything. So maybe we are, like, in a way, overestimating the therapy effect, and some of this fibrosis, necrosis, inflammation is tumor specific, even without not necessarily therapy associated.
Excellent. So when you do that scoring, and you mentioned that you have then three, a low risk, a intermediate risk, and then a high risk, right? So basically, if you have 0 to 1 point is low risk, 2 points is intermediate, and 3 points. And what does that reflect in terms of survival if you do it this way?
So it stratifies very nicely, and in a model comparison, comparing TNM or the eighth edition of the current edition of the TNM classification, then only major pathologic response, adapted or non-adapted, it doesn't matter. And our prognostic score was much better, stratifying the patient according to survival.
All right. So what do you see as the next step? How can you even further refine this?
Well, there are a couple of next steps in this topic. I think one positive or another positive positive issue of our study is that we have easily included the nodal status of the tumors into a score. There are some very interesting and very nice publication looking at regression, or the prognostic value of actual regression in those tumors. But this is a little bit, you know, more sophisticated. So ours is super easy. Is it positive or is it negative? And we have not...
You're talking about the nodes.
And actually, what I find also very interesting, we have not invented this score, but we have, I must say, taken this and applied this from the gastrointestinal tumors tumors of the upper gastrointestinal tract, where this was already evaluated. And it seems a little bit like in budding, we are a little bit behind. They have also looked already at the lymph nodes in tumors resected after neoadjuvant treatment, and they have also the question is still pending whether regression in those nodes is really prognostic, you know, pattern or the percentage of regression, you may say, or whether those are only positive negative.
Similar to what you found.
It's still pending. I mean, there are some studies that say, the kind of regression is necessary, but there are big studies underway which seem to contradict this issue, and it may turn out that it's positive versus negative. So one step ahead, which I think is very important, is to have bigger cohorts, to have prospective cohorts, to have clinical study cohorts, because we have a very, due to the fact that this is a real world patient population, we have not very homogeneous chemotherapy regimens applied. Also, most of the patients had like the same thing, but it worried a little bit, it varied a little bit.
And I think it's
bigger studies.
True.
One thing.
A bigger study. And I think one point that you mentioned before we got online is that this did not include patients with immunotherapy, right?
Correct. This did not include. So one of the other steps, which will be very necessary to do now? Because as I hear from my oncologists, they will apply neoadjuvant immunotherapy in every patient. So this is coming to be the standard. So there is a need to validate all our results in cohorts having received immunotherapy. And there are big studies ongoing already. As I know from the US, I don't know, there was a very nice publication or there was a very nice talk at the ASCO this year by Dr. Sanja Dacic, where she was talking about the big study now with the first results conducted in the US on big clinical cohorts or clinical trial cohorts where they looked at the regression after immunotherapy. And the third thing, I think, is going into the digital field and making our life easier.
and evaluating regression. Because, clearly the pictures that I mentioned on the cover, you use multicolor and circle areas of tumor with blue, areas of necrosis with yellow, and then green areas for the cholesterol clefts. We don't have time to go through the elements of what's necrotic and then also vessels. So what you're saying, if we can have an AI system that just look and give you an accurate, reproducible estimate, right?
That would be fantastic. And many groups are working on that.
But we don't want it to be too fantastic and lose our jobs, right?
I'm not worried.
Good. And the other thing is a good opportunity to talk about how you sample, how we're supposed to sample these tumors. Can you just quickly, we're running out of time, tell us what you recommend in those specimens for us to do?
George, that's a fantastic question because there are no real evidence-based criteria. But what the IASLC is recommending is that you include all of the tumor when it's less than 3 centimeters. And if it's bigger, and of course it's not possible to include the whole tumor, then the biggest or one cross-section of at the biggest diameter or the largest diameter. But it needs to be taken into account because usually as pathologists, we are not including necrosis. And those are the tumors where you need to include necrosis. Correct. To be able to validate it better. Yes.
That's a very good point. So you look at the tumor bed, basically, regardless if it has necrosis or not. And if it's less than 3 cm or less, you embed it completely. You section it and put it in peritoneum completely. If it's above, how about the one block per centimeter? Is that the rule for above 3 cm?
That is the rule, yes. But okay. They say also that you should include, one whole slice.
A whole section.
Yes, a whole section, and optimally also take a photo of it.
Excellent. Well, I'm sure this is such a hot topic. And as you mentioned, there is a subsequent publication in Modern Path this month or upcoming months that's going to appear. And you mentioned the ASCO study. So we're going to hear a lot, and maybe we can have a follow-up meeting to discuss the different scores and on which score is finally going to be the one we adapt every day. It's been a pleasure to have you, and thank you for your support of the journal and for accepting to do the podcast. And I look forward for future interactions.
Thank you, George. It's been a real pleasure.
Any opinions expressed in this podcast are the speaker's own and do not represent the views of Modern Pathology, Springer Nature, UAB, or USCAP. Your ModPath Chat host and scientific director is Dr. George Netto. Producers are Christina Crow, Amber Jackson, Dr. Sarah Jang, and Dr. Catherine Ketchum. Technical direction is provided by Kaminsky Productions, music by Mitch Neubauer. Thanks to the authors, reviewers, and editors of Modern Pathology for making this podcast possible.